So this morning I invite you, if you have a Bible with you or get on your device or whatever, and turn with me to James chapter 1. James 1, we're going to read verses 2 to 4 and verse 12 of James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 2 today. The Word of God says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing." And then down to verse 12, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised those who love him." Amen. So last week, if you listened online, we began our series through the book of James called Faith That Works. And we talked about how faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, works in our lives as an evidence of our faith. The things we do in our character, the things we do in our behavior, they are evidences of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we also talked about faith that works in terms of its effectiveness, faith that is effective to produce faith in our lives that God gives us so that it's working in us at all times, that faith, again, to make us more like Jesus. And how faith that works today is what we're going to look at in terms of its effectiveness, in terms of faith that works through our trials. Faith that works through our trials. Can you think of a more timely message than that message today as we're struggling with COVID-19? Faith that works through this difficult time that is not just affecting our lives, but really it is affecting the lives of every person, regardless of where you land and how we deal with it and how we've been dealing with it. Irregardless of that, every one of us has had the fallout of what is happening here because of this pandemic. We're all affected. And let's be honest, it is really stressing us out, isn't it? It is really stretching us. In my 40 years of being a pastor, I've never faced a sense of confusion or consternation as I have these last 5 months in trying to figure out how do we navigate through this pandemic. But I know I'm not alone. Every one of you here today has wrestled with this trial. Today we look at how can we have faith that works through this trial and all the other trials in life we face. How can God take us through this experience? How can we have hope to cope with this very difficult trial? So I want to begin this morning by actually looking in the middle of verse 2 to begin this morning. I want to talk first of all about the prospect of trials to come. The prospect of trials to come. Notice in verse 2, James says, when you encounter various trials. The word trials there actually can also be translated temptation or tempted. It's translated that way in verse 13. It is a word that means testing or being tested. Testing or tested. So trials in our lives come as a testing in our lives. We'll come back to that in a minute. In general, though, trials are seen as difficulties, events, or circumstances in our lives that are stressful, hard, challenging, and can push us to our emotional limits. Now, I'm not talking here about inconveniences or annoyances or slights that are not really trials. Unfortunately, sometimes we equate the little things of life as if, oh me, I'm going through some difficult trials. You get stuck in traffic on Eagle Road. Oh, the trial. You find yourself called on the carpet with your boss, and you say, oh, what a trial I'm going through. You get low on supplies of food in your house, you know, important things like coffee. And you think, oh, what a trial. No. True trials are those things that literally rock our lives. They can be natural disasters that destroy homes and livelihoods. The people in Cedar Rapids, Iowa right now, of all things, a hurricane on land that literally almost destroyed their town. That's a trial. Serious health diagnoses and issues. The loss of a loved one. The family dynamics are breaking up. Those are trials. And notice James says here that there are various trials. In other words, trials come in different shapes and sizes and degrees. I know that you here today, many of you have gone through or are going through tremendous trials. And I confess to you today that honestly, we have not gone through really serious, tremendous trials. But as your pastor, I have walked with many of you through those trials. James is writing here to Jewish Christians scattered beyond Jerusalem, and they are going through tremendous trials. They've experienced the trials of persecution and poverty and displacement. James reminds us of the pervasiveness of trials. None of us are exempt. As the old saint said, all God's children got troubles. Notice James adds in verse 2, when you encounter various trials. By saying that, he's saying trials are inevitable. It's not if, but when. In John 16, 33, our Lord Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you have peace in the world. Listen, you have tribulation. Not you may have, but you have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. The famous boxer Joe Louis one time was facing an opponent in the ring, and he kept running around the ring trying to avoid him. And Joe Louis finally said, you can run, but you can't hide. We run from trials or try to, but we can't hide. When he says you will encounter them. They happen to you without seeking them out. The idea here is that trials befall you. They come to you unsolicited. It's the same word that Jesus talks about here in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember the story in Luke 10, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. The word fell there is the same word used here for encounter in verse 2. He encountered them. He was just going down to Jericho. He fell among them. He didn't seek that trial. The truth is, trials come to us. They befall us. They come unannounced. They come suddenly without warning. They're not planned for. There are two particular times in my life, and especially I saw those trials come unexpectedly. One was when I was 9 years old and my mom was killed in a car accident. The other was when Janelle's mom, over 10 years ago, we found out had a severe stroke, and she's still in a care center because of the severity of that stroke. Suddenly, unannounced trials. And none of us are exempt. The Puritan pastor John Trapp said, one son God hath without sin, but none without sorrow. None of us, including Jesus, has not experienced trials. They are pervasive, they are unpredictable, and they are a prospect. They are going to come. But then James tells us, what do we learn about those trials, and how do we see faith that works through those inevitable trials? The next point I want to make is the purpose of the trials. What are the purposes of the trials? Well, the first purpose of a trial is testing of our faith. Testing our faith. James begins verse 3 with the word knowing. It's a word that means to acknowledge a truth or a fact. It means recognize, perceive, or understand. And notice it's in the present tense. Keep knowing, keep understanding that these trials, he says in verse 3, are a testing of your faith. The perspective here is that these trials have come to test the faith we profess. And the word testing in verse 3 is a word for proving. To prove something. Think about the days of the gold rush, even here in Idaho. And whenever you thought you found gold, you would take it to the assayer, and they would test it to see, is it really gold or is it the pyrite that we have so much around us and why Bogus Basin has its name? Is it real gold or is it not? So James tells us that these trials are not random coincidences. They're not odd circumstances. They're not events outside of God's sovereignty. But rather, they come to us to see, where is your faith? Do you have faith of the God beyond those circumstances? The picture I get here is you're carrying a cup. You know how you put something in a cup and you're walking around and somebody bumps you. And when you get bumped, you know then what's in the cup. What spills out? That bump reveals what's on the inside. And when we are bumped by trials, does it reveal faith or not? Does it reveal true faith or something that I'm only professing but not really possessing? It reveals, is my faith strong or weak? Is it deep or shallow? So trials come to reveal our character and where we have faith in our Lord. I think back over these last 5 months. I think God's tested all of us to see where our faith is. Where is our trust in the Lord? These last few 5 months have bumped us to reveal our character. How have we done in walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit? How have we done casting all of our anxiety upon Him because He cares for us? How have we done in considering others as more important than ourselves? How have we done in loving our neighbors and caring for the hurting, praying for our leaders? We have been tested by this trial. And we need to know, is our claim of faith that works, as it's under the microscope, can we honestly say that we've seen it working in our lives? How has our faith done? But this testing, James tells us, doesn't just reveal our character. This testing doesn't just reveal our character, it also creates our character as well. That's the second purpose of trials. Not only does it test our faith, but second of all, it is moving us to maturity. It is moving us to maturity. In verse 3, James says, the testing of your faith produces endurance. The word produce there is the word for works. It works endurance. And the word endurance there means steadfastness. So therefore, trials are meant to show a work of faith in our lives, to evidence our faith, but it's also to reveal our character. Do we have endurance? Other words are fortitude, steadiness, courage. And that work is to, again, make us mature in Jesus. Notice he says in verse 4, and let. That's an imperative command. It is not optional. You need to endure. And the implication here is you don't want to quit. If that's the process of making us more like Jesus, don't quit on the process. Don't try to go around the trial or resist it. Don't try to escape it if God doesn't lead you out or mitigate the trial. Don't whine and say, oh, woe is me. I don't deserve this. To resent it. But see the trials, James says, as evidence of God working in us, in our faith, to redeem the trial, so that, he says in verse 4, that steadfastness will have its perfect result. The word result there is another word for work, so that the trial will bring into our lives what God wants to produce. And what he says he wants to produce is that he wants us to be perfect, not without sin, but the word perfect there means mature. It literally means to come to the end of the goal. So God has a goal in mind. He wants to make us mature. Then he says in verse 4, lacking in nothing. What he means by that is not lacking in your character that lives like Jesus. So all of this, these trials come in our lives so that we can see it as part of God's ways to teach us to endure for the purpose of developing a Christ-like character. Adversity, not only to reveal our character, but to create a godly character. Now, I want you to stop there for a minute. I want you to think for a minute about godly people in your life, people around you who you just admire as walking so close to Jesus with a Christ-like character. And I would bet you a dollar to a donut, to use the old phrase, I would bet you that if you examine their lives and you talk to them about where they got from to this point of maturity, that most of them would say, I have gone through severe trials. And I have seen faith that works, faith that has seen me through, faith that has given me maturity in Christ. This is, again, why we must not run from trials or resist them or try to escape them, but again, to redeem them as God's work in our lives to produce for us this endurance that makes us like Jesus. I have a Christian counselor friend who we were talking about raising kids one time and about the consequences of their behavior. And he reminded me, he said, you know, Greg, they're going to face those consequences. And I know that we all, as parents, sometimes want to mitigate them and make them easier. But he said to me something I'll never forget. He said, Greg, don't interrupt the consequences. Those are the teachers. As we look at that in terms of trials, don't interrupt the trials. Those are God's teachers in our lives. Some years ago, I wrote about a man who was walking in the woods one day, and he saw a butterfly trying to get out of a cocoon. You know, the caterpillar goes in, the metamorphosis occurs, the butterfly comes out. And he saw this butterfly struggling. There was just a tiny little hole at the end of the cocoon, struggling to get out. And so he grabbed a little knife, and he cut the end of it so that the butterfly could get out. The butterfly got out all right, and it dropped to the ground, and within minutes it died. And he recognized later that the reason that happened is because when butterflies are getting their wings, getting them to work, it is the struggle to get out of the cocoon that forces the fluid into the wings and lets them fly. You see, he interrupted the suffering, he thought, the consequences, with disastrous results. Don't interrupt the consequences. God is using it to mature us. God gives trials not to break us, but to make us into the people of endurance in the character of Christ. The third purpose of our trials is preparing us for heaven. Preparing us for heaven. Look at verse 12. He says, blessed is a man. The word blessed there literally is the word happy. It's the same word Jesus uses in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, etc. He says, blessed are those who persevere. Happy are those who persevere with endurance. The word persevere, again, is the same in verse 2 and 3 as endurance. Blessed is the person who steadfastly and patiently goes through the trials. For once they go through them, they have been approved. Literally, the word approved there means to pass the test, which is the same word in verse 3 for testing your faith. He's saying, once you go through the trial by faith that God gives you in Christ, you will receive, he says, the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The crown of life here is a general term of reward. It's not saying you're going to get heaven or earn it by your work of endurance. He's saying it's a sign of your endurance. God's going to give you blessing through that endurance. One theologian put it this way, perseverance is a work of faith, not for salvation, but from faith, as God enables us and then becomes a symbol for the saved of that eternal life we have. All this is to say that when you're going through a trial right now, and again, we all are through this COVID-19, but your trial may be your health, it may be your finances, your job, it may be with relationships, it may be you're going through the process of aging, and it's very difficult. Someone once said who was getting older, I get up in the morning and everything hurts. And what doesn't hurt doesn't work. Tough trials. But James says God blesses us through endurance here and beyond with fortitude, steadfastness, and getting through the trial. Beloved, God has his purposes in our trials, which leads to this last point, verse 2 again. our ultimate perspective through our trials? What's our ultimate perspective through the trials? What's our response? Now, you may have thought I skipped the first words in the verse 2, but I'm coming back now. I haven't forgotten about them. He says in verse 2, to consider as your perspective, your response, it all joy. And I come back to that phrase last because I want you to understand the purposes of the trials before you can understand how can you take joy in those trials. Because if you just read the beginning of verse 2, at first glance, it looks like James is saying, take joy in the hardship. Take joy in the suffering. Take joy in the pain as if it's an end in itself. It can sound very masochistic to say, take joy in trials. But James is not saying here, enjoy the trial as an end in itself. It's not, oh good, I've got some terrible disease, or oh goody, I lose a loved one, or my house burned down, or I'm in the storm of life, yay. The trial holds no value on its own. The trial holds no value on its own, but it's to what end? James says here that we must consider, the word means to count or to reckon. It's the idea of look at it this way. Here's the perspective. Interestingly enough, the word consider is in the past tense. I think he's referring to what they've already gone through. Then he talks about when more trials come, consider it, think about it. Here's your perspective. Let it be all joy. The word all is actually an adjective there. So all joy, the noun. Now the word joy here is a very critical word, isn't it? Our dictionary defines joy as the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possession of what one desires. The synonym they use for joy is delight. And that definition fits many circumstances. We can be emotionally joyful. We can be happy. But the biblical concept of joy is much deeper. We can connect it with rejoicing, yes, in that emotion. But it's more than just centering on success or good fortune or delightful circumstances. It is connected through trials to include even the suffering and the pain and the heartache and the sorrow. Biblical joy is much more of a calmness of spirit settled in your heart. Biblical joy is contentment of soul and countenance and character. Biblical joy is that which says, God's got this. I have faith in his work through this trial, and I trust him. Biblical joy is the opposite of moroseness or fatalism or even a downcast spirit of despair, because you know God is at work through that trial. His gift of faith is coming to you, and he's maturing your character. I can consider it all joy because I know Romans 8:28, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. I can consider the trial with joy in how I talk and act as I recognize in that moment that God will give me supernatural joy even though I'm going through this bleak circumstance. Some years ago, I had a friend in seminary who was dating a beautiful young lady. And that beautiful young lady, tragically, was murdered. I went to the funeral of my friend's girlfriend, and her parents came from back east. And at that funeral, they exuded calmness and peace. They were Christians. And they had joy through the tears. And my friend had to ask them, how can you have joy? Obviously not jumping up and down and emotions that way, but how can you have joy? And they said this, because God's given it to us, and we know his love and his purposes are not thwarted by this trial or this tragedy. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence, God's presence, is fullness of joy. Those dear Christians experienced the fullness of joy because they had a deep sense of the presence of God. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I mentioned last week that in James, there's over 50 imperatives, over 50 commands in a very short letter. And the word consider here is actually one of those imperatives. It's actually a command. This is your perspective, not suggested to you, not a good idea, but this is the command. Think on this. Christian, you who believe in faith that works, count your trial as joy by His grace. Beloved, today, the truth is, we struggle with trials. We prefer smooth sailing, don't we? Calm seas. But I read once, calm seas never made for skilled sailors. We need to have the truth in our hearts to consider it all joy in the trials we live through, that as God tests our faith, that we have endurance, steadfastness, as we move toward maturity in Jesus, to see faith that works through our trials. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much that we can have faith through our trials. And God, as I pray today for your people, we don't know what today will bring or tomorrow or the next day, what trials will come. We only know the ones we've already got, and those, Lord, seem hard enough. Oh God, I thank you for your faithfulness, for your ability to instill in us a supernatural joy, a truth that you're in control, that you are at work both to will and to work your good pleasure. God, like the man who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, help us to believe more in that faith, in those trials. Bless these people, Lord, today for coming out. And as we continue to navigate this trial, may we have your grace and your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.